Its current state on WKAR, Michigan's new right-to-work law triggered a dispute last week. The conservative Mackinac Center Legal Foundation filed a complaint with the state over what it claims is harassment by the Michigan Education Association toward a member. There are 8 complaints against the union, but the main one involves a kindergarten teacher from West Michigan. Miriam Chansky alleges interference and harassment after notifying the MEA of her intent to stop paying dues. Here's how the executive director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation, Patrick Wright, put it last Friday here on Current State.
What's happened now is the MEA is threatening these people with lawsuits and to ruin their credit if they don't give up the $1,000 a year.
Joining us today to share his organization's views on the complaint is Doug Pratt. Doug is the MEA's Director of Public Affairs. Hi, Doug. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mark.
We'll also point out that WKAR employees are represented by the Michigan Education Association. The last time you joined us on Current State was March 27th, just a few days prior to Right to Work taking effect in Michigan. Once the law took effect, what was the MEA's plan regarding members who would decide that they wanted to stop paying dues? What were they supposed to do?
Sure. It's the same as it's been since 1973 when MEA's resignation procedure was first adopted. Here's the thing. Right to Work changed nothing about being a union member. That's one of the myths out there. The Mackinac Center especially loves to promote that, oh, we have an end to forced unionism. No one was ever forced to join a union. What Right to Work did was made it illegal to charge people who chose not to join a union a fee, a fair share fee instead. Okay? So that's what Right to Work did. Joining or not joining a union is the same it's always been. And so we go to the rules that we've had for 30 plus years. And that is that in the month of August, members have an opportunity to resign for the coming year. Otherwise, their membership renews. That is listed on the MEA membership form. That's listed in the MEA bylaws. And in fact, the Mackinac Center sent out thousands of emails to MEA members who they got through FOIA requests at school districts around the state touting that news. So for them to sound surprised at this point that there was a rule and some people chose not to follow it is a little disingenuous.
Well, Mr. Wright claims that your bylaws at the MEA involving the August window are effectively taking precedence over the new state law, and that in a post-right-to-work world, he said it should be exactly the other way around. Did you ever consider expanding the time window to more than 1 month?
No. Every process has a deadline. Ours is the month of August. You know, we have...
Why is that? What is it?
It's the start of the school year. I mean, typically speaking, school employees are on continuous employment, and their employment renews at the start of a new school year. Now, mm-hmm. granted, that isn't the same for every employee, like the ones here at WKAR who work year-round. But, you know, the start of the new school year is the start of our new fiscal year. That's what it's based off of. Here's what this is really about. Only about 1% of MEA members chose to opt out under Right to Work. And that shocks the Mackinac Center and the corporate special interests who back them. They thought this was a death knell. And the fact is, it's not. People are choosing to stay with the MEA because they want an organization that's there providing them a voice for public education in this state. And so suits like this, which, by the way, already got tried more than a decade ago, this exact same suit was brought with the Michigan Employment Relations Commission by the Mackinac Center in the late 90s, and they lost at Merck and in the courts.
Now, you've got 150,000 dues-paying members, correct?
That's our total membership. That includes active members and retirees.
And are you concerned that the publicity alone around the Mackinac Center suit may kindle more interest in not paying dues?
You know what? I think when it comes right down to it, it gets back to who we are as an organization. We deal with contracts. We enforce contracts. And when we have a membership form for an individual that says, I can opt out between August 1st and August 31st, that's a contract between us and that member. Now, if that member's employer violated their contract, that member would be coming to us wanting us to enforce it. We are simply holding up our end of the agreement and providing representation for a member, and that member, in return, has to hold up their end of that contract. This is about contract law. And for the Mackinac Center, a free market so-called think tank, to try to undermine contract law is amazing.
I think if Patrick Wright were here, he'd probably allege that it may not violate the letter of your bylaws, but it violates the spirit of your bylaws after right to work, that there should be greater flexibility.
Right to work, again, right to work did one thing. It made it illegal to have those fair share clauses in contracts. It did not change fundamentally being a union member or not. It just simply didn't. If you read the law, there's nothing in there about resigning. There's nothing in there about union membership. It's all about the financial transaction and not being required to charge that fee. So this really is a stretch on their part.
I think in Miriam Chansky's case, what do you make of her case in particular? She apparently communicated to the union back in May that she wished to stop paying the dues. Is she still a dues-paying member, by the way? Do we know?
I don't know if she is currently paying dues or not, and that's not something we divulge publicly out of the privacy considerations of our members. Whether or not Ms. Chansky's a fan of ours at the moment or not, we're still not going to divulge her dues standing to the public. But what I can say is, yes, she communicated to the MEA. We communicated back to her that she needed to take a further step. And she even says she called the person who sent her the letter and chose not to leave a message. Now, I'm sorry. If we send a letter to somebody saying we need you to contact us, they call and say, oh, the person's not there. Well, I guess I'll call back. And then wait several more weeks to call back? There's nothing we can do about that.
There are apparently other unions that allow members to change their status on their work anniversaries. Here is how Patrick Wright referred to it last Friday on Current State.
Now, what's interesting about the MEAs is that they claim theirs is for administrative reasons, that they have to have it in August for budgeting and so forth. Some of the other public sector unions throughout the states just do it as a one-year anniversary.
How is it some unions are able to allow that option, apparently 12 months a year, but the MEA can't?
Again, it goes back to the typical school year for most of our members. The majority of our members work on a school year basis. So their anniversaries are at September. This is when their year starts. It's a logical time frame in which to put this. So, you know, again, this has been in the MEA bylaws, written in there from August 1st to August 31st since 1973. This isn't something new that we're throwing. So this is something that simply has been the way it's been, and it's been before Merck. It's been through this process that they're kicking off again, and we'll have to see what Merck says. We're going to have to go through that process. We believe in that process, but we also believe in contracts, and we are going to hold up our end of our contract with our members. And the vast majority, 99% of our members, literally, want to be members and want to be part of that contract.
How do you respond to people who say, hey, this is so much about money that it just raises all the red flags?
Well, of course, look, everything is about money. That's why they passed Right to Work in the first place, to try to starve out, you know, unions, particularly the MEA, because keep in mind that not only did this legislature and this governor pass Right to Work, they also passed a law that makes it illegal only for school employees to collect dues via payroll deduction.
Mm-hmm.
This is about money. Everything in politics is about money. This is about trying to starve out an organization that is standing up for the kids and the school employees and the public education of our state. We're one of the few remaining large advocates, you know, to keep public schools public. And if you have any question about the threats that are out there for public education, look no further than corporate-run cyber schools that are taking money out of our system, for-profit charter schools that are expanding and taking money out of public education, evaluation systems that are hurting public employees, and lest we forget, $1 billion a year cut to public school kids.
Do you expect the August window to stay in effect, though, or is there any kind of discussion at the MEA about a more flexible approach?
You know, there's discussion about it.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're looking at the numbers. I mean, this is a new world for us. We came into this not having any idea what to expect. We didn't know if we were going to have to deal with people constantly wanting to leave. We didn't know what we were going to walk into. Now that we have a better sense of the numbers, yeah, we're looking at processes. We're having conversations. But it doesn't change the fundamental nature of the contractual relationship between us and a member. They chose to become a member. They signed a form saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm willing to pay you dues for the year in exchange for representation. And if I want to end that relationship, I do so in August. And that doesn't change.
We're talking with Doug Pratt, who's the Director of Public Affairs for the Michigan Education Association, about the complaint filed with the state over a few of its members that claimed it wanted to drop out of the union. Let's talk for a minute about your fee-payer members, because this is another thing. You claim this option has more or less existed for a long time. But does the MEA require fee-payers to continually opt out?
No.
It does not?
No. No. Here's the way to look at it. You are either a member or you're not a member. You either are a member and you choose to remain a member, or you're a member and you choose to resign your membership. Now, the question of fee payer status depends on your contract. If you have a contract that was in place prior to Right to Work and you have a fair share clause in there, then you're a fee payer. You resigned, you're not a member, your contract says you have to pay a fee, you're a fee payer. If you have a contract that is not in effect, doesn't have that valid fair share clause in it, you resign, you're a non-member. You're a non-member who pays nothing. It's the fundamental gateway question is, are you a member? Are you not a member? Mm-hmm. And then what your contract says from there depends on whether or not that fee is still in effect. But again, Right to Work made that fee, made that clause in any new contracts, made that illegal.
Have you learned any more as to when Merck will hear these latest complaints?
No.
Do you know anything about the timeline here?
No, this is still very early in the process. In fact, you know, we learned about these filings from the Mackinac Center's press release. Apparently, they filed the press release before they even filed the charges, which I think says something about the intentions here. Mm. It's still very early in the process.
The political complexion of Merck changes, I am led to believe, over time.
Yes.
How has Merck changed? Does the political complexion of Merck in the Snyder administration, in the current atmosphere that we're in, does that concern you in a way that it did not concern you 9 years ago?
Well,
nine years ago,
we were several years into the administration of another governor who historically wasn't a big fan. Governor Engler and the MEA weren't always singing Kumbaya. So the fact that the Merck panel that decided this over a decade ago probably was made up of three Engler appointees. I don't know that for sure, but 6 years into a governor's term, chances are he made three appointments to Merck. I don't know that it's different. The fact is, this is about a fundamental principle of American law, and that's a contract, a signed agreement between two parties. And for the Mackinac Center to be, you know, calling that into question, all of a sudden a free market think tank is just advocating for anarchy.
Doug Pratt is the Michigan Education Association's Director of Public Affairs. Thanks for joining us, Doug.
Anytime, Mark.